Welcome to the Rock of Ages Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Israel Soto. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit rockofagesaog.org.
I have a particular subject I want to speak to you about this morning, and it's all pertaining to you and your needs in your life. I preach this type of sermon and on this subject matter at least a few times during the year, and so it might sound familiar, but nonetheless, I feel compelled of the Lord of how important it is for me to continue reminding you that God is still present with us. Amen. And we need to believe that more than anything today because of what's happening in the world around us. There are catastrophes going on. There's a tragic situation going on in the Middle East right now, a continuing war. I don't understand the politics behind it, and I don't expect any one of us here. The only inclination that we have concerning the politics of what's going on is what we hear on the news, and you know what goes on the news. I heard a man say one time, if you don't read the newspaper, you are uninformed. And if you listen to television news, you are misinformed. The fact of the matter is that we can hardly trust anyone to give us the truth of what's going on, but we do know that something terrible is going on. And I don't know if the Lord wants us to really find out the detail of whys of all this situation, but I do know that He has called us to pray. The most important place that a church can take during this time is to get on its knees and pray and seek God. Any time in Scripture, you'll find, those of us who study just a little bit and have taken time to read the Word of God, will find that any time during a time of war or tribulation or trial, the first command of the Lord or order of the Lord or those who led the people was to pray. They needed to get God involved in the situation. It's a big mistake when not only us as individuals, as families, as neighborhoods, cities, and states, and the world altogether try to handle things ourselves, that most definitely, more times than not, we find ourselves deeper in the situation than have helped anything at all. But when we pray, and we ask God who knows all things, and to Him all things are possible, we know that if we can get Him to listen, He will respond to the requests of His people. And we need God to respond to the requests of His people, especially in what's going on in Israel and the surrounding nations around, and even in our own country. A lot of discord, and all of this is written. Now, I've never been, I don't know if the proper word is anointed or prepared to speak to you in depth of prophecy. I've never taught you on that because I stick to what God has called me to do, and I've always stayed in that lane per se. But I do know that today we're living in very prophetic times. Very prophetic times. Time and time again, you'll find someone speaking on, and there are diverse positions and opinions concerning this, but they all lead to one thing, that everyone at the closing of their statement, however they may have itemized everything that's going on, they say, surely these are the signs of Jesus' return. These are the signs of the coming of the Lord. And that I do believe. If nothing else we understand, if nothing else we can really put together and figure out, one thing we should never forget as a church is that Jesus is coming soon. He's made it plain enough that you don't have to be a theologian. He has made it plain enough that we don't have to be some kind of foreteller. He's made it plain enough that we can just raise our eyes to see what's going on, and we can see the pangs, we can see the birthing pains of the coming of the Lord. And for that, we must be ready. So we need to pray. We need to pray. I believe that we are headed more and more to times of great struggle. You know, the Bible warns us as we see all these troubles going on. He said, yet we have not arrived or come to the place of blood. And that only announces to us and reminds us that if things are bad now, It's almost as if the scripture says, wait till they really get bad. And so it's important for us as the church to start living and becoming truly the church. You missed that. I said it's time to start living like the church. We've been talking about the greatness of this church. It's time we begin to show the signs and the signatures of that great church. To once again begin to walk in step with the Spirit of the Lord. To be sensitive to hear the voice of God's leading. To be malleable enough that God might be able to direct us and move us in the direction that we as a church might move. But it's time now. This whole week I've been praying over these situations. I've been praying, and I've been praying for many of you as well. This is another reason why we will speak on the subject of it only will take His touch, all in a single touch of the Lord. I've spoken to many of you over the phone and through text of your needs. Some of us have been suffering through sickness, others through difficult situations in our homes and financial things, material things, physical things, emotional things, and yes, even spiritual things. But I've come to tell you this morning that the answer is with God always. The answer is in the hand of God all the time. All it will take is the touch of the Master's hand. And so I ask you this very challenging question this morning. When was the last time you really got in with God that you felt a touch of the Lord? Was there ever a time in your life that you stopped and refused to be religious? How long has it been that you refused to just be a church member? That you refused to just be a Christian by title? It'll be part of a youth group or be part of a worship team or part of the roster of a child. That you refused to be that, but you decided really that you wanted to belong in relationship with God. I want you to know that having your name on the church roster feels really good. You feel like you belonging to a youth group, a college group, or a ministry in the church, with a worship team. All these things feel really good, but there's nothing that feels as good as a touch of God. Come on, church. Are you up this morning? Hallelujah. You need a healing in your life today. All in a single touch. I've mentioned a lot of these scriptures, and I've read them. You should know them verbatim by now, but I can tell you that a single touch of the Lord did wondrous things when He walked upon the face of the earth, and a touch of God will continue to do wondrous things if you'll just get Him to touch you today. Just a few scriptures to use as a platform. Daniel 8 and 18 reads, "While He was speaking to me, I was in a deep sleep with my face to the ground. Then He touched me." Everybody say, "He touched me." The automatic response to a touch of God upon the life of this man was it raised him up. "Then He touched me and raised me to my feet." How many need a raising this morning? And whatever area of your life, I need a raising this morning. Maybe it's just you're feeling down in your spirit. You need a raising. I love to pray unto the Lord and ask Him all the time because of everything that I take on a daily basis when it comes to medications and all these things. I speak to the intimate friends that I have here in this church that pray with me. I need to be raised up. I feel so weak in my body from all of this stuff that I'm taking. So I'm always praying, "God, raise me." But there are other things that come and wilt our spirit. There are other things and experiences in our lives. It could be marital, it could be emotional, it could be work, it could be financial, it could be physical, whatever it could be. But there are things that come to drain us from our spirit of joy. But here we find the answer that if you want to be raised, then seek a touch of God. Matthew 8 and 3, Jesus reached out His hand and touched the man. And He is speaking to a leper, someone who was ill in his body. Jesus reaches out and touches the life of this man. And the Bible goes on to say, and immediately he was cured. How many need a healing this morning in your body? Come on. Hallelujah. You need a healing in your body. We know where the answer is. We know where to find that healing. It's in the touch of God. Nothing remains the same when God touches you. Matthew 8 and 15. Peter's mother-in-law, he touched her hand and the fever left her. She was absolutely restored. How many need restoration in your life today? Amen. Amen. I want you to get used to confessing that, because you'll find out this morning that one of the biggest reasons why God will not touch you is because you are unwilling to accept the fact that you need a touch. I know I'm talking to somebody this morning. Hallelujah. We're going to learn this morning that if we need a touch of the Lord, we must first realize, remember always this, let this encourage you, that Jesus never touched anybody that remained the same. When he touched the blind man, they received their sight. When he touched the lame, they began to walk again. The deaf began to hear. The blind were able to see. Even the dead were raised when he touched the individual. But the first thing that Jesus will always look for is the admitting of our need. I've asked you this morning, how many need a touch of God? I don't see why 100% of all these hands in this room shouldn't be up. Are you telling me if you don't raise your hand, you're saying, I don't need nothing? How many need a touch of God? We need to learn how to profess that. It's okay to profess that. You know what keeps your hand down? Self-sufficiency, arrogance, pride, false security. You must be trusting something else that you're okay. I don't need anything. But I don't care if you're sitting on a mountain of money or you're feeling the best in your health. You always should have time for a touch of the Lord. Always have time for a touch of the Lord. You just got your raise. Your business just made an overwhelming amount this year. You made the best grades at college. Now you've got the best job offer. All these things are wonderful. But they're always, in spite of how blessed you may feel, there is always room and should always be room for a touch of the Lord. Always. And so let that be the first principle of this morning. Do you realize you need a touch of the Lord? Do you recognize a need for it? I mentioned this before. You may have heard me say this, but I think of Jesus as he walked upon the face of this earth during the full throw of his ministry. The Bible goes on to tell us that he healed many. And when I look at the fact that he healed many, somehow that number is incomplete from all. Amen? How many did he give you? He gave me many. That means that there are still some he could have given you all. You understand that? And I look at his walk upon the earth, and the Bible says that as he walked amongst the people, he healed many of the surrounding people around him. And what intrigues me the most, what challenges my thoughts the most, is not the fact that he touched many, is how many missed that touch. To look on the opposite side, not look at those who received, because we know about the woman with the issue of blood. We know a blind Bartimaeus. We know about all these guys, the lame man by the pool of Bethesda. We know about all those people. Those people were touched by God. But how many onlookers were there when the healing God, the Savior of the world, the one who holds your restoration, was right there? They saw him restore him, and yet they themselves walked away untouched. You know, that happens in the church all the time. Somebody say amen. I'm sure it's possibly happened to any one of us at any time, at any service. God is moving in the airways and wonderful things are happening in the church, yet you walk out just the same way you walked in. Amen? It happens. It's happened to all of us. The stretching out to God isn't there all the time. The need for God to touch our lives. You know, we wait a whole 7 days to get together again for this moment. How many were waiting for Sunday? I better never that asked. How many are disappointed because of daylight savings time? I'm so glad. I've never said that. I'm glad they changed the hour. I feel like I was at home at 3 o'clock in the afternoon by the time we came at 11 o'clock to service. We cut the yard, or bathe the dog, wash the car, go outside and grow a tree. By the time church came at 11 o'clock at the other hour, now it feels a little bit earlier. Thank God for that. I don't understand it. I'm not saying I agree in the sense because I understand it. To me, daylight savings time is like having a 6-foot quilt and cutting a foot off the bottom to cover your head. You missed that. Tell somebody to explain that to you. Anyway. But sometimes the stretching out to the Lord isn't the same. We sometimes forget how much we need the Lord. Jesus was surrounded literally by thousands of people, yet the Bible says he touched only many. And that is striking to me. And I kind of bring that into our day-to-day of how many of us come here into the service when God is moving or you're invited to step in because Jesus is in the airwaves and doing things in our midst, yet you become at will an onlooker. First and foremost, in order for God to touch our lives, I want us all to understand we need to recognize the need for the touch. Anyone you speak or read about in Scripture, we talked about the leper in Luke chapter 5, verse 12. The Bible says that this man heard that Jesus was there, and he went there and he begged Christ for a touch. Think about that. Well, he was a leper, Pastor. What's your problem? For him, that was his problem. All that represents was his problem. But what is your problem? Maybe it's not that important. It discourages you. It's not as important to propel you, to push you, to probe you, to ask God for a healing in your life. Well, maybe you are identifying that situation as something you can take care of on your own, yet it's been lingering there for years. But the Bible said that this man went out there and he begged the Lord, and he told him, Lord, if you are willing, make me clean. See, God cares when he knows we need it. If you walk out of here this morning, and you're carrying the same burden, the same need, the same pain, the same discouragement, and you walk out, it's not because Jesus wasn't on the main line. It's because you didn't reach out and let him know you needed it. Jesus said, you have not because you ask not. Amen. You have not because you ask not. I think of that leper, and if you do just a little bit of study, you'll find out that there were cities of people with leprosy. So many people were sick of that they established little suburb areas on the outside for those who were contaminated and sick of their skin so that they would not mingle with the healthy ones in the city. So that tells me something else, that there were many lepers in that place. As a matter of fact, we find that it was about 10 of them that went to Christ, but it only speaks of that one. I'm wondering if the other lepers didn't hear that that one God healed, that they wouldn't run to Christ, wouldn't you think? You know what it means to live outside in a suburb where they tell you you can't come in the city, you can't see your family, you can't see your children, you can't see your friends, if anything, but I'm a distance from a fence. The sense of abandonment and rejection from the city, they had to take out food to you. You could not go to the city market. You could not mingle. And even if you did by chance walk through the city, you were forced by law to scream, unclean, unclean, unclean. And tell everyone not to get close to you because he was. Can you imagine what kind of lifestyle that was? Then to hear that Jesus was there and he healed the man. What happened to the rest of the guys? What happened to the rest of the people? Maybe they're in their minds it was hopeless, or maybe they didn't feel it. Maybe they liked where they were at. Some people get used to suffering. We get so conditioned. Have you heard people say, well, es que así me hizo Dios? I mean, that's just my destiny, man. But why are you living in that condition? Well, you know, I mean, hey, God gives everyone, you know, their place, and this is mine. Really? Wow. You're sick, and that's the way God wants you. You're impoverished, and that's the way God wants you. You're always in the mess, and that's the way God wants you. Well, I mean, that's just the way it is. The devil has a subtle way to convince us sometimes that we were brought up to live on the down versus to be from glory to glory. But we need to know that we need that touch. The second thing this morning, I told you we were going to pray, is to develop a contending attitude. That is to have a little determination in your life to find that touch of God. How many had problems yesterday, Saturday? All of us did, right? I think all of us could, every hand should go up. We have situations, may not have been major, nothing to mention, but you know, there's always a little something in the way. All of us face things and troubles on a daily basis. But you see, when you wait 7 days to come to church, and every day brings its sorrows, as the scripture says, by Sunday morning, you've got a load of sorrows. No? Or just me? You've got a load of sorrows. You've got quite a few sorrows from every day. If every day brings its sorrows, man, it's just building up. So can you imagine the struggle it is? And I know that some of us, even in this place, it doesn't have to be anything immoral, something bad. It could be you're exhausted from work. You worked all week. Those are that sorrow. I just feel sorry for you. I know what it's like to get exhausted working every day. And then to come to church on Sunday morning and pastor wants to hoop and holler during worship. Like, dude. I'm exhausted. Even our school kids who are going to school, they're studying every night till 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, and they're waiting for church, and church comes in, and now you're sitting in church going, because you've been to the books all the time. You know what I'm talking about. Amen? Young people, is that true? It happens. You're crashing. You're doing all these things. If you have a business, you're figuring things out. If you're a mother, you're having to iron everything late and preparing the kids for school. What I'm saying is that life can be rigorous. It can be laborsome. And so by the time I get you on Sunday morning and I'm expecting you to be 100% pure adrenaline, there's nothing left. This is why you're sitting here like you are right now. And so sometimes, even as silly as that sounds, we miss it. Is that okay? Sometimes, as silly as it sounds, what I'm telling you right now, Oh, Pastor, yeah, you're being crazy, Pastor. That's so funny. Yeah, but you missed it. And so we have to develop a little contending attitude, a little fight to say, you know, I've been going at it hard all week. I've been studying. I've been working. I've been working overtime. The boss has been keeping us late because we're going through a transition at work. All these things. I'm the boss guy, so everybody goes home and punches out. I don't punch out at all. I'm always figuring things out. I'm thinking about tomorrow. How can I keep all these families supplied for? And you're thinking all these things, but you have to worry about Sunday. Said, I got to leave something for God. I've got to leave something for the Lord. Because I know that in spite of everything I'm going through, God wants to bless me. And I'm not going to be too lazy not to reach for it. I'm not going to allow myself to be so tired that I can't reach for it. I'm not going to wear my voice out so much that I don't have one more hallelujah and one more amen for my Jesus. I'm not going to get so exhausted and so tied up and worried about things that I'm not going to get up and hold back my song when the young church people are singing songs. I'm going to worship with them. I've got to leave something for the Lord. I've got to fight to get in there. This is my only chance in 7 days. And sometimes we miss it. Sometimes we miss it. There is no determination, no contending to claim what God has for us. Paul said in Philippians 3 and 4, 14, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I press toward the goal. He was a contender. Not only was Paul a contender to keep his salvation and to protect the fact that God had saved him, but he was always constantly contending to keep what God had promised him. We are told in Scripture time and time again that we need to guard our hearts, for it is the wellspring of life. We know the Scripture tells us that we should never disregard our salvation. And so we're protective of our salvation. We're always careful where we go, what we say, what we do, who we're with. We're always watching and protecting our salvation. And so we're contending to keep it. But there's also a contending that must exist in us that'll help us to fight for what God has promised us. You remember the story of Caleb and Joshua? There's a scripture that tells us well into their age, into their 80s now, the Lord had promised Caleb a piece of land in Canaan. They went out to war for that place. They fought for that. They contended for that place. And here they are speaking together at 80-something years old. And Caleb stands up. He says, hey, Joshua, you know me for a long time. We've been to battle a lot of times. But you may have thought, but I'm here to remind you, I've never forgotten what God promised me. I never forgotten what the Lord has promised me. He told me I have an address here in Canaan. And I may be 80, 85 years old right now, but I'm still strong. And I'll take you for it right now if you hold it back. I'm willing to fight for that blessing right now. And some of us, ladies and gentlemen, forget how much God has for us, how much God wants to bless us, that we just let that wonderful gift of God fly off. And you don't contend for it. It can be anything from healing. You don't contend for your healing. For any kind of blessing, anything that God has promised you in your life. And there are thousands of blessings that mention your name in Scripture. But you don't contend for them. God has promised you a happy wedding, a happy marriage. He has promised you godly children. He has promised you a successful life. He has promised you to be well and not impoverished. He has promised you blessed in the city and out of the city. He has blessed you so many things. When have you stood up to claim those things for yourself? I think of Jacob in Genesis chapter 32. Remember that story? The Bible says that he wrestled with an angel. He wrestled with an angel. and wrestled determined so much he was holding on to the angel that the angel had to tell him, let me go. Back off. I can imagine that that angel had the strength to just flick him off. I would think. But that reminds me of how much God respects and loves someone who's determined to hold on to him. He could have easily gone, get out of here, you little fly. But he didn't. He told him, let go. What was he challenging? His determination. He wasn't doing it for him. Let go. I can't release myself from you. Let me go. You're hurting me. That's not what the angel of the Lord was saying. When he said, get off me, he was making Jacob aware of how determined he was to hold on. And Jacob told him, he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. I'm not going to let you go because you promised me you bless me. You have to develop that contending attitude and spirit. You have to bring your family together and say, we are blessed because God said we are. And I don't care what wants to tear my family down, what wants to tear my business down, what wants to tear my finances down, what wants to tear my body down. I will contend for the blessings of the Lord. Gotta have a little fight. Amen. God cares about contenders. God cares about you fighting for his blessings. It proves to you and shows you how willing you are and how aware you are of the things that God promised you. And finally, this morning, believe in his willing heart to do so. What does this mean? Trust God. Stop making excuses for God. Well, this was what God must want. Well, God chose this step for my life. I mean, I've been troubled through trouble. I don't know why God has put all this stuff in my way. Stop blaming God. There's not one scripture that you can find that tells you that God dislikes you enough to just not give you anything. But you'll find 1,000 scriptures that'll tell you how much he loves you. But God may be having trouble with today, let me tell you something, is getting people to believe him of his love. Come on, church. All the way since the beginning, the Lord told his people, it wasn't because you had anything to offer me that I chose you. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 7. It wasn't because you were more than others, because you were stronger, you were more skilled, more able, more capable, more competent. Not because of that, that I chose you. He said, but because I love you. How amazing is that? How amazing is that to know that there's nothing anyone in this room, I don't care if you feel you're a genius or we call you a genius by paper here in this world, there's nothing that surpasses the knowledge of knowing that God loves you. And the fact that we may be so intelligent, smart, advanced, rich, or poor, there's nothing more special than knowing that God loves you. Jeremiah chapter 31 and 3. I have loved you with an everlasting love, and I have drawn you with loving kindness. What could be more special than that? Since the beginning, all the way to the end of his stay here on earth, he reminded the people of his love. And today, by the power and the anointing of his spirit and through the leaving behind of his word, he tells you this morning how much he loves you. How much he loves you. How much he has for you. And for this very reason, he speaks to you this morning. Are you feeling without today? Are you struggling in your body? Are you struggling in your family? Are you going through something in your life that's difficult? Have you taken time to admit it? Have you taken time to admit that no one can help your circumstance except the Lord? Again, think of all the people that knew Jesus during that time when he walked upon the earth. Think of how many had the privilege of touching him. Remember the woman with the issue of blood? Remember blind Bartimaeus? I mentioned him a little while ago. They tried to stop him from yelling, "Leave him alone." These guys were beggars by the road. They were yelling at the air, "Jesus, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." People were telling, "Be quiet. Don't bother this guy. This is royalty. This guy is new in town. This guy is a big shot. Don't mess with him," trying to suppress their call for God. But yet the Bible says they shouted even louder. The woman with the issue of blood, the other ladies wouldn't hang around with her because to be sick of menstruation during that time was to be cursed of God. 12 years she suffered from this. So can you imagine the neighborhood ladies there? Ah, it's that dirty woman. I wonder what she did that God cursed her in such a way. She was unwanted in the city, yet she heard that Jesus was passing by and there was a crowd of people that she had to wrestle to. When you're on menstruation, I don't know much about that, but I can tell you, being a nurse, that when you start losing that kind of blood, you become anemic and weak. And that's because by normal, people suffer a week or a few days from that stuff. But this woman was suffering for 12 years. Doesn't say anything about her finding any kind of restoration. As a matter of fact, she went to every doctor and no one could help her. So can you imagine how weak she was? How anemic in her body she was? What kind of contending spirit she must have had to have to wrestle through all those people, all those healthy people, and then to have people, "Don't touch me. Don't touch me. You're dirty." But she didn't care. She said deep within her heart, "As long as I could just touch the cloak of his garment, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I will be healed." God respects and loves a contender. So much does the Lord know who fights for him, that in the midst of all that congregation of people, the hordes of people around him, he knew somebody touched him that really wanted him. Isn't that awesome? Think about that. And in the midst of all the people that were walking all around him, people were pushing him, just trying to be a part of the show there with him. All of a sudden, what happened? "Somebody touched me." And you can almost hear the crowd saying, "There's so many of us. Just keep going." "No, somebody touched me. Somebody needs me. I felt power and mercy and love pour out of me. Somebody touched me. Lord, keep going. We've got places to go. There's so many people. How can you tell? Somebody wants me in this place." He didn't say that about anybody else. And I'm sure they were bumping into him and touching him. I'm sure everybody was all over him and his garment was touched by many. And it didn't matter, didn't faze Jesus at all. But all of a sudden, in the midst of everyone that was around him, he stopped and he froze in his tracks. "Ah, somebody touched me. Jesus, who? Somebody touched me that needs me." He turned to look at that woman. And all of a sudden, the reject of the crowd became the star of the moment. And he saw her need and he healed her disease. Could Jesus identify our touch? When you're walking alongside Jesus, because all of us are walking alongside Jesus. Anybody walking with Jesus in this house? But has anybody ever made Jesus stop Say, oh, somebody touched me. Somebody touched me. All of us here are walking with him, but who would dare make him stop in his tracks and say, oh, somebody needs me. I want to be that person. Don't you? Don't you want to get his attention? Don't you want God to come touch your life? Don't you want to be, not because of some prideful reason, but don't you want to be one of those who walks with Jesus, but yet you touch him? He says, oh. I felt you touch me. There's a lot of people touching me, but oh, I felt you touch me. Because he knows in your heart you want him. Because he knows that you've been fighting to get to him. And because you know deep in your heart that if you could just pull him over, he'll be willing to touch you. There are people in this house that need to be that person. You have a need in your life that you've been dealing with and walking with. You've even blamed God for a couple of times or two, and you've been convinced that that's just the way your journey is supposed to be designed. But I'm here to tell you this morning, God will change that if you'll just need him. God will change that if you'll just reach out to him. Stand to your feet this morning. I don't know what your need is. And you know what? I don't even know how bad you need him to touch you. Maybe in your heart you might be saying, well, that's good to know,